Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, happy Monday. Welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
We're clearly, the question of the day is, after some titanic news, is Joe Flacco still elite? Is he still elite after the trade to the Jets? Because if he's elite, Mike Harmon, whoa, we're doing 2020 all over again. If he's elite, whoa, is Joe Flacco still elite? I can't wait.
One of those confusing moments as he was dealt earlier today, and you know the tweets were coming. I was driving back and forth from a soccer tournament, and you guys are you and our executive producer Justin Frostberg sending me quick like one liners of just names. Like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? Like, because there's no context, there's no story attached. No, nothing. Like, okay, and then the look, it's like, okay, isn't he the guy that should have been back there in, you know, training camp to try to help things along? Isn't that the type of guy you would have wanted, you know, on your roster then and not when you're a canned joke show halfway through a season? The hell's it do now?
Jet's gonna jet, yo. Jets gonna, look, I can't tell you how the embarrassments just keep on coming. You forget about yesterday's game. Zach Wilson's out probably a month.
And what now, a hit, dude. That was, yeah, that was ugly.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. It was, it's Jets. I mean, Jets. That's all I have to do is say Jets. Well, oh, right. Yeah, Jets, yes.
But you
Jets,
saw the yes. that in juxtaposition yes. with some of the other quarterbacks getting calls for roughing the passer and yeah, late nothing. Hits or whatever.
Nothing.
Like, are you kidding me?
No.
The first like that one on Kyler hit. Murray? I was like, wait, what is this? And the Micah Parsons and so many other defensive players going, someone please just explain what the hell we're supposed to do in a situation like this.
Yeah, first play when he gets hit, two plays before he gets hurt, it's an easy 15-yard. Nope, not going to blow the whistle on that. Jets, that's what I'm saying, Jets. I don't know if Robert Saleh can even be a head coach in the NFL because we still don't have any points in the first quarter of games.
All year.
Still says today, we're still going to win championships. I'm like, dude, I don't know that you're up for the job because after a bye week, we come in and look that craptastic in the first quarter where everything was supposedly solved. And today is still, I know it doesn't look like it, we're going to win championships. And you got to trade for a quarterback and we got to give up a draft pick when the season's done, man. It doesn't matter. Put Josh Johnson out there. It doesn't matter. Why are we trading a draft pick for Joe Flacco? Jets are always going to jet. And every time you think rock bottom is here, no, Mike, we got these special shovels that go right through the bottom, whatever ore is at the bottom or whatever steel we go through. No, we go through. We bring a drill and go, we're through the rock bottom. We're keep going. Good. There's no such thing as rock bottom. We're going to dig through the bottom of the earth, out the other side, and then just fall and be like Loki in Avengers. I've been falling for 30 minutes, except we're just going to keep falling and it's never going to stop.
No, that's pretty good, football. Buddy. That's good.
That's Jets football.
Yeah, I mean, you got run over by Damian Harrison. J.J. Taylor. Hi, everybody. Looking on the waiver wire this week for anybody to get some opportunities.
Wait a minute. Don't forget about Brandon Bolden. Come on, man. Suddenly it was, Brandon Bolden can have the game of games. I can't
Six for 79 and a score.
Snaps.
No, exactly. Hitting all these receivers. What do you hit? 10 different receivers?
Oh, it's just an embarrassment.
Yeah, 11 guys when you add Taylor with his 1 for 5. No, that's just absolutely ridiculous. Oh, Nelson Aguilar catches the touchdown pass. You know, all of these things that just add up to a 54-13 shellacking.
Oh, I don't know that we have anything right.
That game was actually worse than the Bears.
Not
really.
No, well, you
no, because we well,
38
no,
to a future Hall of Fame quarterback who's the best quarterback that anybody has seen in 30 years. I'm okay. Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Eventually, people are going to start wearing Mitchell Trubisky jerseys to the stadium in protest.
Yeah, we have nothing going on right now. We're going to pick second at best again, at worst again this year. It's awful. And I really can't understand how we keep getting drilled that way in the beginning of games. That's horrible coaching, right? Forget that the OC, LaFleur is out of his element. I don't know that Saleh can get. I mean, really, I don't know. We have absolutely nothing. My team has nothing. nothing.
And Belichick gets to stand there and just go.
The Seahawks have more with Geno Smith than we have years after Geno Smith. I mean, really, that's what's going on right now. So, yeah, we'll be able to laugh at the Jets throughout the show tonight. But right now, Monday Night Football, Saints and the Seahawks. It is the Saints with a 10-7 lead early in the third quarter. It was a DK Metcalf 16-point fantasy play. Was it 16 points? About
let's see, 184, so 9.4 plus the 6, yeah.
15.5 points for fantasy touchdown for DK Metcalf. The only time Geno Smith has looked his way the entire game. The Saints have come from behind to take the lead. Touchdown and a field goal in the second quarter. Jameis Winston's got a touchdown pass. Alvin Kamara already has 115 yards receiving. So Saints and the Seahawks, again, 10-7. 11.5 to go in the third quarter, and this is like rubber hitting the road time for Seattle, because now they fall to 2-5 in a division where, however much longer you're without Russell Wilson, suddenly you're looking up at how are we going to pass? There's three teams better than us.
Right.
There's three teams better than us. So this is like, they don't win tonight. That's almost like a stick the fork in the Seahawks if they don't find a way to pull this out at home tonight. Like, even when Russell Wilson gets back, just because the division is too good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's too many teams that you get the best team in the NFL, probably the second best team in the NFL, and you get a team that's, yeah, all right, but they're still better than you are. So it's really, really difficult to see any way forward for the Seahawks if they lose this game.
Yeah, the Rams really got their test, but they survived in advance. I want to ask you about this, though. There was a sequence, a drive by the Saints on which they scored their field goal. 19 plays, 86 yards, 10 minutes, 16 seconds off the game clock. The actual drive took 27 minutes of real time. How do you like that? You could watch a sitcom time. Plus.
That's like the amount. That's like the John Wick common fight. That's how long that fight
right.
is in John Wick 2. That's how long you'd have.
And then they kicked the field goal.
Yeah.
Against Geno.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for getting points on the board, whatever, but you just drove the ball for 10 minutes, 16 seconds, methodically. 19 plays. The Seahawks have had one play of consequence the entire game. And you don't back Geno up and just say, if we don't get the first down, we can pin Geno. I didn't quite understand that. Now you got the 2-minute drill and they ran it well and they played some zone, and I'm sure our buddy Softy there at KJR was losing his mind on that touchdown reception by Alvin Kamara at the end of the first half. But just a couple of head scratchers, because it looks like, at least for the moment, the rains let up a bit. Right, it was all sheets early on, and now they look to have at least a clean surface to work on.
So we'll keep you up on this game, keep you updated on this. Again, 10-7, the Saints with the lead. Again, this is like the season is on the line tonight for the Seahawks, and it's Geno Smith at quarterback. Like, this is great. This is great. At least I can have a twinkle in my eye as I watch this game.
8-14, 118, and the score. He's taking 2 sacks. Again, DK Metcalf, 1 catch, 84 yards. And a touchdown, his only target of the game.
Oof. Now, we have a big anniversary in Major League Baseball we're going to talk about. We have the big week in review in the National League, in the NFL to talk about. But clearly going forward, a story that's going to dominate the headlines for the rest of this week is the potential trade of Deshaun Watson. If you saw reports earlier today that it's not just the Miami Dolphins in the mix for Deshaun Watson, multiple teams could get involved for him again, including suddenly the Carolina Panthers. Oh, what happened? I thought Sam Darnold was great. Oh, the Jets made a big mistake. Sam Darnold's so good. Oh, I told you he was just a guy. Even when they were 3-0, he was just the guy. And guess what? He's not even just the guy now. He's a guy barely holding on, because they don't have a backup. They try to get Teddy Bridgewater back if they could. I told you he's just the guy. So we could see a deal for Deshaun Watson, and mainly because, if you saw Ian Rappaport's report yesterday, NFL Network, that the possibility of, okay, the NFL will act when Deshaun Watson is traded, they will put him on the exempt list. That doesn't look like that's going to happen. You know, Rappaport's report was you have to be charged. If you're charged with a felony, if you're charged with something, then that's when you go on the exempt list. And that's basically what the NFL has done. When you are charged with a felony, when you are charged with something serious, that's when the NFL puts you on the exempt list. And right now, he's not been charged with anything. He is facing allegations of sexual assault and inappropriate behavior in 22 active lawsuits. But as far as being charged, that's not happened yet. So get ready for the incredibly awkward and awful optic of Deshaun Watson getting traded and then jumping right into play for whoever gets him, whether it's the Dolphins, whether it's the Washington football team, because that's exactly what's going to happen. All right, a team is not going to trade for him and say, you sit. He's going to get in. As soon as he knows the offense, he's going to come in and play. And this is the one thing the NFL is not really going to understand. They don't understand now. They don't know what it's going to look like when he winds up getting traded and being able to play. They don't get what the backlash and the attention on Deshaun Watson is going to be. They're not ready for this. They think, well, what can we do? The guy, and they're going to watch that. You're going to see the attention that is spent on him. You're going to see the protests that happen that are going to be covered on the news, not just a sports topic. This is going to be CNN, Fox News, everywhere else. You're going to see it. This is going to be covered ad nauseum. There's going to be many people who are going, very famous people who are going to stand up and want to know why. The government's going to want to get involved. Everybody is going to have an opinion on this. And this is going to be a really awful look for the NFL, and they don't get that that's where it's headed. And they're going to try to throw their hands up and say, there's not a lot we can do. Well, you know what? Roger Goodell, pretty much, I trust that he has a wide-ranging latitude of powers to do something if he really wanted to. I mean, he doesn't go from, I'm the commissioner, to, I'm just the commissioner. I mean, I don't want me to do it. I'm just the commissioner. There's a lot of things he can do. The NFL is not going to be ready for all of this that happens. More details are going to get out as this case gets played through the media even more, and it's going to hang over the rest of the season, and it's just going to be the NFL is going to not be able to get out from under this because they didn't know how to act and try to put this aside like MLB did with Trevor Bauer, and we're waiting for it to happen. The NFL still hasn't found a way to figure that out, and this is how it's going to be. I don't think they understand how big an impact this is going to have if a guy with 22 allegations of sexual assault, inappropriate behavior. That is a very big deal to say, go play in the National Football League. I don't know if the NFL's ready for that.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, you know, you're trying to take the temperature, and obviously Roger Goodell not necessarily coming down with a heavy hand like he did once, right? He took power, and they wanted to put in the player conduct policy, and they did, and there were a number of incidents where they went heavy, even if there wasn't a lot to a case or criminal charges, right? Remember what happened to Ezekiel Elliott, Ben Roethlisberger? You look at Tom Brady and deflated footballs. I mean, there were a lot of, you know, cases where there was at least some sense that he'd gone beyond his powers. And then there have been other cases that have gone pretty quiet. From a national media perspective, a lot's being said about the Washington football team and the investigation of the emails, right? A lot of John Gruden and the fallout. And now you got the government wanting to get involved in that. Yet you still have this, you know, race norming $1 billion settlement that's barely gotten a whisper, right? I think part of it is because people just don't understand it or haven't tried to. So you got that whole thing circling around CTE and long-term disability and detrimental effects of having played football that we're still, you know, trying to wrap our arms around. And then you have this case where it's a bunch of allegations, and they're serious in nature, quite obviously. But now it begs the question of, okay, if he's still eligible to play, he just didn't want to play for Houston, right? Because all along, it's if he would acquiesce and want to play for them, I got to imagine you would have never heard the name Davis Mills other than draft day. Mm-hmm. Instead, you have this battle, and now you've got a bunch of suitors, and they're trying to figure it all out. Again, from the team perspective, it all goes out of the Bill O'Brien trading away all assets and whatever issues he has with the ownership there, and now trying to figure out what the end game is. And yeah, it's a bad headline, but there's a number of bad headlines competing. And with the civil cases, I got to imagine there's a still active settlement talks, no matter what's being said and put through mouthpieces
yeah,
to make that part of it go away.
You got to think, but this will blow everything else away. All the other headline, all the other things in the NFL is dealing with this. This will be an everyday topic. And I really, the every single day he is playing while these allegations are active is going to be an awful day. That's why Major League Baseball knew we have to sit Trevor Bauer down. We have to sit him down. And baseball did it right. And what happened? It's moving forward, and everything is happening as it should. And with Deshaun Watson, our kind of hands are tied. No, you can make the rules. You're the NFL. You can figure this out. They're not ready.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
They come to the Breeders' Cup from every corner of the globe. The best thoroughbreds from around the world with one goal in mind, the title of world champion. Visit BreedersCup.com/2021. That's BreedersCup.com/2021. For more information and catch all the action live on November 5th and 6th. Still 10-7. Seahawks trailing the New Orleans Saints right now late in the third quarter. We'll have more on that, but a big week in the NFL. We need a lot of answers to questions. So joining us now on the hotline, CBS Sports NFL insider extraordinaire Jason Lockenfora. You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. And I'm here to break the big Jason Lockenfora news.
Oh,
he is now officially on probation as he was the person trying to sneak into the Ravens radio booth yesterday in the middle of the game.
I was in studio in New York, but yes, I also had a doppelganger who couldn't get enough Jerry Sandusky, and really none of us can, and that's a great booth, and I love all those guys, but no, it was not.
I thought it was you. I thought it was you. Kind of looked like you had a Syracuse hat on. I thought it was you. It kind of looked like you. All right, I'll believe you.
I was several zip codes away.
All right,
I think it was a nice effort by the guy to try to change the energy of that game, though.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it takes, right? But it was certainly a hell of an afternoon for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Who, I'll tell you what, man. You know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago that Joe Burrow is the absolute real thing, and
yes,
good times are coming for the Bengals, and they're here. I mean, the good times are waiting, but they're here now.
I mean, look, they have not. They obviously last year dealt with the ultimate adversity, right? You don't get through 11 weeks with your quarterback. He goes down and he's getting major knee surgery, and his season's over. That's big time adversity. This year, they've been incredibly lucky from a health standpoint. They're not the deepest team in the league, but they're scrappy as hell. They're playing their ass off for Zach Taylor. The defense has come leaps and bounds from a year ago. They're out to kind of like scout people, right? Like they're out for blood. Like they're out to show that we're not these, you know, the same sort of jamoke operation that's been going on here since the Marvin Lewis thing started falling apart. And they've got playmakers, and they play within a team construct, and they clearly have a lot of self-confidence. And am I shocked that they beat the Ravens? Not at all. Am I shocked that they beat them 41-17 in Baltimore? Yeah, I am. That they scored 28 points in the fourth quarter, and I'm sorry, 28 points in the second half, and absolutely destroyed them in the fourth quarter to a point where it looked like the Ravens' defense was maybe sort of quitting a little bit. That doesn't happen very often. But again, a lot of football to be played. We'll see how things go. I think the margins are slim for them because they're not as deep as some other teams. And like, if they had to go through the wave of injuries that the Ravens or the Steelers or the Browns have experienced, am I absolutely certain they'll come out on the other side of it, you know, still one of the best teams in the AFC? I'm not. But you know what? Maybe they won't have to go through that. And the reality is, right now, they are one of the best teams in the AFC. And I don't think they're going to fall apart unless there's things out of their control that tear that roster apart from an injury standpoint.
Jason, after a blowout loss to the New York Football Giants, the Carolina Panthers have evidently become a bigger player in the potential Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. What's the update this week?
look, I've been reporting for, you know, a long time, a very long time, that David Tepper was very enamored of Deshaun Watson since before Deshaun, any of these allegations came to light against Deshaun Watson, that Tepper is trying to build a regional foothold franchise there that extends from, you know, North Carolina, South Carolina, becomes a team that draws from a wide swath of population centers. He's trying to get a new stadium built. And obviously Deshaun Watson, you know, right down the road in South Carolina at Clemson, did amazing things. And he knows a franchise quarterback when he sees one, because he was a minority owner in the Steelers for the totality of for much of Ben Roethlisberger's run. And that he was never really sold on Sam Darnold as being the guy, and he's not so sold on Joe Brady being this quarterback whisperer, genius coordinator, play caller, and that ultimately positional talent trumps all, right, especially at that position. And he's owned that team for several years now, and it's been one stopgap after another. Now, ultimately, does that mean that he's going to go to the lengths in real time with Deshaun Watson facing 22 lawsuits for sexual misconduct and sexual assault, and that he's going to beat all comers and offer more than Stephen Ross and just absolutely make this happen? I'm not certain of that. But I also don't rule it out. I think Miami is still the most likely team to make this happen, and they have been the most motivated team and, frankly, the most desperate team to try to get Deshaun Watson. And could there be a dark horse like a New Orleans or somebody else? There certainly could, a team that's played it very close to the vest. But the Texans really want to make this happen by next Tuesday, and at this point, I'm more convinced than ever that it's likely to happen.
Jason Lockenfor, our guest here, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. All right, so with that, you know, is going to be a big topic all week long. And as we get closer to Thursday, the Packers in a little bit of a COVID situation. Mm-hmm. Devontae Adams is on the COVID list. Yeah. We have other people, other personnel. Is this something where, okay, hey, we can manage this, it's only Monday? Or is this, oh, man, this puts the game in jeopardy on Thursday?
Well, I mean, certainly the league has made it clear through the offseason that in terms of a game being in jeopardy, we were going to have to be in some pretty dire straits. And we've seen teams, you know, have to rely on backup wide receiver, you know, assistant wide receiver coaches to relay plays in or whatever. Like, they're not, you know what I mean? That's not going to keep the train from leaving the station. Right now, in terms of the number of players in the COVID protocols, it's not nearly to the point of what it would take from derailing this game from being played. And even moving games, you know, is just not something that we're really going to see happen unless we reach such an acute situation in terms of manpower available that for competitive reasons, it, that's the next step. So, look, we don't know how quickly this will spread or what's going on there. We know that the defensive coordinator, Joe Barry, tested positive. We know Devontae Adams tested positive. But things would have to, in the next 48 hours, rise far beyond that to reach a point where we're talking about anything involving the kickoff of this game and what that looks like. And we're clearly not out of the woods. And I think if you look at now, we're almost a season and a half through this thing, and we have not had a single game compromised. I think that's startling, right? That's staggering. I didn't think it was possible, but it has been to this point. And as of now, that Thursday kickoff is very much still on schedule. But again, things can change rapidly.
All right, Jason, it's like going back to school. You take out the best team you lost to, Arizona, the worst team you lost to, the Jets. What are the Tennessee Titans right now?
You know, I think Tennessee Titans are pretty good. The defense is not great. But who's got a transcendent defense in the AFC? The Buffalo Bills, to me, are clearly the most balanced team. But after that, I don't know. I mean, Pittsburgh's defense is good. I don't think it's great. Devin Bush has not been good. Minkah Fitzpatrick has not been nearly as good as he was a couple of years ago. They're you know, a little Stephon Tuitt hasn't played yet. You know, Cam Hayward is much closer to the end than the beginning. It's kind of a one-man army with Watt at times. The Bengals' defense is very, very solid and I think ascending. And again, I think Cincinnati is pretty good. I'm not ready to say they're up there with Buffalo yet. Baltimore's defense is horrible. They can't stop the pass. They've given up almost 1,200 yards of yak already. They've given up over 2,000 passing yards. They don't get a pass rush unless they sell out to do it. You know, the Chargers' defense is god-awful, especially against the run. The Chiefs don't even pretend to play defense. You know, the Raiders' defense is they counterpunch with you. They hang, but, like, I don't know. Like, is that really going to be a January defense that you have to fear? I mean, you just start going through the teams in the conference. I think the Colts are an ascending defense. They're getting their sea legs under them. They're better than their record, but, like, are they feared? Well, they don't have anybody off the edge that you really have to worry about that much. I mean, maybe if they get Quiddy Pay back. But you kind of go through this exercise, and it's like, okay, well, the Titans do have a really good quarterback, and they can gouge you in play action, and AJ is for real, and the running back is obviously in a, like, on a different planet than everybody else. So are they going to win their 11 games, you know, 10, 11, 12 games now that we're playing 17? Yeah. Are they going to be a factor in January? Yeah. Could they be the team they were 2 years ago where they had Kansas City on the ropes in the second half? Or will they be the team last year that had a lead on Baltimore, you know, and at home and then gave it up? I don't know. I do still have reservations about their secondary in particular. But I really think it's going to be pretty wide open in the AFC. I mean, I think when this tournament starts, you're going to be able to make the case for, I don't know, you know, five or six different teams that if things break the right way and they get the right matchups, they could be the last one standing in that conference.
All right, Jay, lastly, you got to help me out here, okay? And I go through the 54-point debacle yesterday. Clearly, I don't know if Robert Saleh is a good coach or not. We're not prepared for games. Why are we trading a draft pick for Joe Flacco? What the hell are we doing trading a draft pick for Joe Flacco?
Yeah, I don't know, man. But look, you should have just gone ahead and signed. He's like, you should have just kept Joe Flacco.
Right, like, exactly.
I mean, that's the ridiculous part is, oh, we're going to go with Zach Wilson and Mike White and nothing else. I mean, look, it's bad. I mean, that was one of my best bets last week, and I'm like, the only reason that this spread isn't 14 is because there's already three games that are like more than 14, you know, and for the NFL slate in a limited week where you got a bunch of teams on a bye, they're not going to have three teams getting two touchdowns, but they destroyed them 25-6 the last time around. You know what I mean? And Wilson threw the four picks, and if New England had a semblance of an offense at that point, it would have been 48-6 and not 25, but they didn't, and it was only Mac Jones's second game, and they were really kind of super uber conservative. But no, I'm not surprised that that was an absolute trouncing. And come on, you think Belichick was going to call off the dogs? They lost four in a row at home. He's watching Tom Brady doing another victory lap. Like they were going to slit their throat five times over and, you know, whatever, eat their hearts. Like that was going to be an absolute bloodbath. And it was. And the crazy thing is White played better than Wilson. So I don't know what's going on there. They're so far from being a contending team. I mean, you really look at teams like Detroit, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Lions. Oh, I said Detroit. The Texans. It's pretty brutal. Like it's as much as we talk about parity, right? And any given Sunday, and margins are so slim. There's also a lot of haves and have-nots going on, and there were a lot of blowout games last week. And I think we're going to, frankly, continue to see a lot of blowout games because there's a lot of teams that are god awful right now.
You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. That is at Jason Lockenfora. His latest at CBSSports.com as well. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate your time, man. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Thanks always so much. My pleasure, gentlemen.
See you, Jason.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, things are just, I mean, really, they're just bad. They're just bad. I
tried to bring it with some positivity, a team that people are trying to figure out after they beat up on the Chiefs. And then you got to bring up the Jets. And bring us all back down into your misery.
Debacle. No, it's making everybody else happy because they go, man, I'm glad I'm a Lions fan. I'm glad I'm not a Jets fan. Oh, man, I feel good about
myself. I tell you, I felt really good about that plus 16, buddy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon.
Yo.
They come to the Breeders' Cup from every corner of the globe. The best thoroughbreds from around the world with one goal in mind, the title of world champion. Visit BreedersCup.com/2021 for more information. Catch all the action live on November 5th and 6th.
Are we going?
To the Breeders' Cup?
Yeah.
Yes, because I'm about championships, and the Jets stink, so I am there. I'm completely there for the Breeders' Cup.
Come on, we'll go do some wagering. We'll put on our best dapper outfits. Let's go.
I like dapper outfits. I like jaunty hats. I like
you could borrow one of mine.
I like that.
I think my head's big enough that you could actually
use
one.
Yeah, your head is kind of deceivingly big like mine. I mean, I may stretch it out a little bit, but,
that's all right.
It'd be okay. All right. Right now, 10-10 still, Saints and the Seahawks early in the fourth quarter. We'll have more on this game coming up in a few minutes, but... You know, I hate to say I told you so.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the worst thing. I know
it
vexes you like nothing else.
I hate to say it because I said it when they were 1-0 and it was, oh, he got away from the Jets. He's great. Then they were 2-0. Oh, look, that's all he needed was to get away from the Jets. At 3-0, it's, oh, look how bad the Jets are. Look, all the stuff about the Jets, that is true. They are really, really bad. But I told you so about Sam Darnold, who was benched yesterday in the Panthers' latest loss. He's still the starting quarterback. He is hanging by a thread. And now the Panthers have renewed interest in getting Deshaun Watson. I told you Sam Darnold was just a guy. But everybody wanted to laugh, right? Oh, I really want Sam. The desire to have Sam Darnold play well just so everybody could laugh at the Jets was so huge. Everybody went overboard with it the first couple weeks. And I told you, he was just a guy. He missed so many throws in the opening win against the Jets, and he's still doing it now. He still makes mistakes. He still makes bad throws into coverages. He doesn't see open receivers. He's not good. He is just a guy. And now the Panthers' season, when they thought they were 3-0 and everything was great and we're trading for shutdown corners and, oh, look how good we are. Oh, yeah, Sam Darnold stinks. And now they're the team that, hey, we should have had a backup quarterback, man. If we had a backup quarterback, we'd be pretty good. I'll tell you this. Sam Darnold's in his last year as a starting quarterback in the NFL, and he's not going to make it to the end of the season. Because eventually, when he keeps playing like this, because this is who he is now, because this is his fourth year in the NFL, right? This is not, oh, it's his fourth game. This is his fourth year. This is who he is, and eventually, that's not going to be enough, especially with the weapons they have on offense. He's not going to make it to the end of the year, and he's going to be a backup somewhere next year, hoping to get in the Ryan Tannehill plan, where I'll back up for a couple of years, maybe when I'm 28, 29, I'll get a chance somewhere, and I'll light it up because I've been in the same system for a while, and I'll figure things out by then, and I can get on that. I'm hoping to get Tannehill at some point in my career, but that's the reality for Sam Darnold. He's in his last few weeks as a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Well, they turned the keys to the car over to P.J. Walker. What do you think of that? Is that what you want for the rest of your season?
If Sam Darnold looks like Sam Darnold, it's going to be anybody.
Quarterback out of Temple was with the Indianapolis and then to Carolina in March of this year.
Remember when Flanders, what was he running for? And they were cheering for him to run for whatever post it was in Springfield. They're going, Flanders, Flanders. And he stands up and says, well, guys, I don't know if I can. And Homer goes, someone else, someone else, someone else. Yeah. That's what it's like for Sam Darnold. Hey, Sam Darnold. Well, guys, I'm not really. Someone else, someone else. That's Sam Darnold.
Yeah, it's a tough one, right? Four straight losses after the three wins to open things. The Jets and the Texans were two of those wins. And then you had the Saints when we were trying to figure out what the hell the Saints were, right? Because they had that opening game blitz where Jameis Winston didn't have a huge yardage total, but found the end zone, what, five times? And then they come back and Carolina beats them 26-7. Obviously, missing Christian McCaffrey is a big deal, but Chuba Hubbard's been solid. You still have DJ Moore. That offensive line, we told you before the season, was trash, and that is borne out over the course of 7 weeks of play thus far. They've got the Falcons on tap. And if you can't figure out the Falcons defense, then just it's time to just walk away. Right? Everybody wanted Tua gone. What did he do? He threw for four touchdowns and dominated. Thank you to help my guillotine league team survive by again.
Telling you, he was just a guy. Still is just a guy.
As you say I'm seeing Daniel Day-Lewis talking to Paul Dano. Just a boy, Eli. Just a boy. I drink it up.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Jason Myers has just missed a field goal, so it's still 10-10. And really, if Jason Myers can't succeed during Halloween week, I mean, there's nothing we can tell you. I mean, this is his week, and he missed a big field goal. That's it. Coming up next, we got a big story out of the NFL and a big anniversary in Major League Baseball. Fox.